You are listening to Packers Talk Radio Network. PackersTalk.com.
Do you want to experience the thrill of a Packers game at Lambeau Field? If so, be sure to get your game tickets from the longtime trusted source in Wisconsin, Ticket King. Visit their locations in Milwaukee and Green Bay, or just go to their website, theticketking.com. Again, that's theticketking.com.
Packers Therapy.
It's back. It's Packers Therapy. It's Chris and Dave with a very special edition of Packers Therapy. We only talk when we have something to say. This way, kind of like Mr. Ed, who only spoke when he had something to say. We're kind of the same way. And I think that the departure of Aaron Charles Rodgers merits an off-season podcast from Chris and Dave. Dave is in St. Louis, Missouri.
Still here.
Home of a stainless steel arch and also the co-host and founder of Packers Therapy. My friend, how are you? First off, I mean, the Rodgers stuff we can talk about, but more importantly, how are you doing?
I'm okay. I guess I kind of think of it as we've been in a darkness retreat, if you will, since this whole time. And I stole that idea from somebody else. They said we were in a darkness retreat, but I'm not going to credit. I'm going to take all the credit for it.
Absolutely.
But I am doing fine. I am stressing over the Milwaukee Bucks at the moment. Oh, I am very scared and realizing that sports is a stress that I've brought into my life. That doesn't need to be there. And yet, because I have other stresses that I can't get rid of. And yet I've accepted another one the Packers being probably the worst of those stresses in a lot of ways. But now the Bucks are another, which I hate. But I am excited. I feel good. Everything. I'm healthy. I'll go off script here for a second.
I love going off script.
I'm going to give you insight into Dave's life that probably shouldn't happen. But are you familiar with the these new drugs, Mounjaro, Wonkovi?
Is that something you have to call a doctor after 4 hours? Is that
No. It's not one of those.
Okay.
I don't have something I need to get rid of. It's these medications that are for diabetes, but they are also have shown this amazing
lose weight. Yep.
Lose weight. Correct.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I went to the doctor and my levels for my heart, cholesterol stuff were elevated. My doctor said, you know, you're probably not going to qualify this for insurance, but there's this new medication that might be really interesting for you because your insulin's a little high, whatever. And I got things worked out and I've been taking this medication. Dropped 30 pounds in 2 months, Chris. Just like bam,
what?
Bam. Yes.
I don't think I'd recognize you.
I am a new man. I'm a new man. So if you ask like what's new, that is now I feel a little bad because this medication is meant for like diabetes patients and it's kind of hard to get. I've been lucky enough to be able to get it, but it has been a life changer in terms of appetite and health and even like the wanting to drink alcohol. It's like curbed even like some of that stuff. It's an incredible thing that I've gone through, incredible transformation. And from a health perspective, I feel really, really great. It's my pants that were 38s are now 34s. It's
oh my
crazy.
God.
It's crazy. So
yeah, send me a picture
of my waist or my pants.
Well, I was hoping for a, you know, maybe a
full.
Well, in order to be able to really appreciate it, I don't want you to be burdened by clothing.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. I'll try to think of what I want to send you exactly.
I actually just spit out my tea because I made myself laugh. Okay. So.
So anyway, that's how I'm doing. There's lots of, you know, we didn't get a chance to catch up on all the personal things. There's lots going on, but that was kind of something that's really been impactful for me is, it's like I had a goal, New Year's resolution, and which, you know, every year is the same. I want to get in better shape, but this medication has been like the life changer. So I'm actually becoming the spokesperson for it. I'm like telling everybody I know, even though I'm, I feel a little bit guilty about it, but there you go. That's one of the insight into Dave. Now that you've melted me out of, what was it?
It doesn't help with memory, apparently.
Yes, it's that's very true. No, you said I was in a cryogenic stasis. What did you say exactly on Twitter?
Yes, I told people that in order to muster through the podcast, I had to thaw you out of the cryogenic chamber that you spend the off season in, and I said we had to delay because it took a little longer than expected. We didn't want to do anything that would make the show Chris and blank because we had an accident with Dave.
Right.
No, that would be terrible. Yeah.
Well, tell me something personal that you shouldn't share with others about your life. Anything that you can share?
Let me see. Well, in my case, I'm still fat as hell. And I'm sure I'll be on diabetes medicine. But what I will do when the labs come back at my next physical, I will request this medicine that you have talked about, so I too can be in the thong and string bikini club along
right.
with you. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, listen, if I've saved your life, which this might, then this podcast is worth it. Forget Aaron Rodgers. It doesn't matter. If I was able to talk to you and save your life, then kind of indirectly, Aaron Rodgers might have saved your life. So maybe we should think of Aaron Rodgers differently as we go through this podcast.
Well, when I think of Aaron Rodgers, I think of a kidney stone, of which I've had two in the past 8 months.
Stop.
That's true. It is true. First time, I didn't know what the hell was going on. I wound up in the emergency room and had kidney stone. I'd never had one, And I'm getting to be an advanced age. I thought that was actually good that I waited this long to have it. And I thought that was kind of a one-off thing until about a month ago. My wife just had knee replacement surgery, which went well. And I thought I was just feeling some stress because I had this pain, I took some of the special medicines that you can buy in certain states, but not others. And that alleviated the pain. And I thought, well, great. It was just kind of a one-off until it wore off. And then it was definitely, I've heard women say who've had children and kidney stones say they would rather have the child pain than the kidney stone pain. And that made me feel better. I don't know if it's true or not, but it made me feel better because I was whimpering like an 8-year-old girl.
Was it bad?
Lord. Yeah. So I was able to pass that stone. First one, I don't know what happened to it. I don't remember anything. But they're kind. They're really kind. They give you like a strainer so you can pee through it and then you can collect all your, it's kind of fun. You want to collect them all. Yeah,
sure,
it's great.
Right,
it's fantastic.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm at this moment, I'm kidney stone free, but I am drinking pretty much anything that's liquid at this point because they say you got to, keep yourself flushed out. Doctor says, hey, you need to drink 3 liters of water a day. Now think about that. The 2-liter bottle, of soda that you buy and then another half of those.
That's insane. Yeah.
Because they want you to pee out 2 liters. In order to get that, you got to have 3. And it's sloshing around. You feel bloated all the time.
Yeah.
I'm sure I'll have another one. But I've been a liter and a half to maybe 2. But I just can't. I can't have more than that. I'm up all the time in the night. Yeah. So that's my personal story.
People are so glad they dialed in for our podcast to get their Packer update. We're hitting this running here. This is great. But
this is important, though, okay, because we started the same year the Packers drafted Aaron Rodgers, 2005. That's when we began. Aaron Rodgers is leaving the Packers. Are we leaving the Packers, Dave? No.
No.
We are staying with the Packers. So I think our situation is far more important than anything A.C. Rodgers does, number 8 for the New York Football Jets. But I might as well ask you, do you have any thoughts on the trade as it happened earlier this week?
So I guess, leading once we realize they're going to make this happen, right? He's talked about he wants to go to the Jets. And what a strange, because you go back through the timeline when he was on Pat McAfee's show. And I listened to it live and like waiting for him to announce that he's going to the Jets. And he started the conversation as, I'm not going to say anything, I'm not going to say anything specific. And then yada, 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 I want to play for the Jets. And I was like, well, all right, well, that's pretty specific to me. Like, that's so it's like, so he wants to go, the Packers want to make it happen. This is happening. And then I thought, great, I'm ready for a change. I think we talked about it, that we were ready probably a year before that, or I know I was. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And maybe that had been a year too early, but as the year turned out, maybe not. But then this long period of, is it going to happen? Is it not? Jets Twitter is all over my Twitter page.
Well, and mine too. Yep.
Right. And it's like, you know, you'd be lucky if you get a seventh round pick, because we're going to pick up a salary and you should be lucky that you get anything.
Exactly. Yep.
And I went through, that's ridiculous. Hold on to the pick, you know, the trade. Like, we'll just hold him. I don't care if he doesn't play.
Right.
Just don't give him up for no value.
Same way that I felt. Yep.
Right. And but then as time went on, I thought, I don't know, maybe I'm not thinking of this correctly. Maybe, you know, it is like the salary is such a burden for us. I mean, it doesn't help the cap situation, but it's actual dollars. Like, to me as a fan, I don't care how much the Packers pay in dollars. It's about the cap, because that impacts the roster. That's what I care about. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, maybe I'm not thinking of this right. Maybe the fact that they'll take his bloated contract is actually worth so much that if we get anything in return, it's worth it. So I started to think, maybe we're going to get a seventh round pick. Maybe we're going to get a fifth, or, you know, what did we get for Favre?
Did we? I think it was like a third. I think it could have escalated, but I think, remember, he was ineffective that season. He, you know, he had some shoulder problems. He started out good, but it didn't end well for him there. And so I think they wound up, I want to say they wound up with like a third round pick.
Okay. We probably should know, like, this is the guy they picked for Favre. Like, that's probably a trivia question that we should all know. But I convinced myself, like, look, I don't know if I want him to be sitting around training camp. I was thinking, like, what do you do with the Packers if you still have them and training camp starts? I think you tell him, don't come.
Right.
Not that he would anyway, but you never, he might pull a Favre and fly in a jet or whatever. Mm-hmm. I thought, yeah, maybe and I just felt like, given the way the Packers front office continues to disappoint me at times, I thought it's going to end up poorly and we're not going to get the Deshaun Watson deal. We're not going to get the Russell Wilson deal. We're going to get the crap deal. And Rodgers is better than all of them together, but he's older and whatever.
Yeah.
So that was my mindset. I thought, you know, then I saw the news that the Jets and the Packers have reengaged, and I thought, okay, maybe this is going to happen before the draft. And then it popped up, you know,
it's like the next day. Yeah.
The deal happened. And so then when I read the details, actually the first way I read it, I think it was I don't know what feed. I got some kind of email, and they failed to mention that the Packers swapped the first round pick, 13 to 15. They just said that they got 13. So when I initially read it, I heard they got a first round pick, 13. They got the second round pick, which is what, 42 or something like that.
Yep. Right.
Then the next year, first or second, that's contingent on his playing time. I thought, we got a first and twos and potentially another one. Like, I thought, how did that happen? And then when I read it again, I saw, okay, we didn't get 13 for nothing. We got 13 for 15.
Right.
So it was, I initially thought we got the moon, and I have to set back my expectations a little bit. But when it's all said and done, I feel extremely happy with what we got. We moved up a little bit in the first round. We got a second free and clear, which is a high pick. There's going to be a tight end or edge rusher or someone there that's going to help the team. And then what I think is just the best is a first or second next year based on his playing time this year, not next year, this year, which makes me want to talk about what kind of scenarios could play out here, which is really fascinating to me. But I guess to answer your question, the overall, I was really, really happy. Now, I think when I see it from the Jets perspective, they can say, they feel pretty happy too, because they have a legitimate shot of making the playoffs, making a deep run in the playoffs, you know, maybe a Super Bowl. So, and as we talk about, if you can make a Super Bowl, you should spend the draft money, whatever it takes to do it. Because if everyone wins a Super Bowl on schedule, you should win once out of every 32 years. So if the Jets feel they can do it with Rodgers, they should give up everything they can. and they gave up a lot. And so I think the Jets should feel good about what they have, but I actually feel very good about what the Packers had got through it. So how do you feel about it?
I think I feel good about it because the longer it went on, the lower my expectations became. And so to hear, you know, that they were able to move up a couple of spots in the first round. Okay, so that's good. You're going to leapfrog over, you know, a couple of teams and maybe get a better, you know, pick. Or, you know, you because they got a another second round pick, you know, they're able maybe to package it, move up if they want right. in the first round, or move down and get more picks. I mean, it's that much better of a pick to move up those cups. So that's big. And getting that, you know, second round at number 42, there's a lot of good players at number 42, you know. So I thought, hey, well, that's good. But what really made me happy was getting that second round pick next year that is a very easy makeable escalator to a first round pick. 65% of the snaps, I think that's pretty much a sure thing unless he breaks his collarbone. Yeah.
Right.
But then you're still getting a second round pick and you don't have the burden of, you know, the salary. Sure, they're going to get nailed with, you know, $40 million this year in the salary cap, but then that obligation is going to be over and then they can, you know, move on from there. So in a way, it's kind of a cleanse, you know, to be able to right. finally clear that stuff out. I was telling people on the internet, Packers weren't going to do anything this year anyway.
Well,
you know, I mean, with you know, 10 at quarterback, maybe he'll wind up being a perfectly fine player, but I doubt it's going to be in his first year as a starter. Even Aaron Rodgers, you know, Brett Favre, you know, Bart Starr. I mean, in the NFL, quarterbacks, generally speaking, I think in 95% of the cases, you know, aren't as good in that first year as they are maybe in their succeeding years. So certainly by the third year, it takes a little while usually for guys to find some traction. So this is going to be a lost season anyway. And so fine, you know, take the $40 million hit. You might as well let go of, you know, some of those veterans that were important to, you know, Aaron Rodgers. You can, you know, the kicker, tight end, you know, these guys, who, the slot receiver, all those guys who were his buddies. This is a good chance to kind of purge the roster of that and to turn the page. Now, I can't say I'm excited about what's coming up. It will be different. There's no question about that. But my anticipation and expectation is really quite low. The reason I was so hanging on to Rodgers for so long, because he gave him the best chance to win. Now, I wasn't really thinking they were going to win, but he gave him the best chance, just like he has for the Jets. I don't think it's far from a sure thing that they're going to make it to the Super Bowl. It's a tough AFC, but he gives them a far better chance than, you know, Zach Wilson would right. have given them. And I'm sure that's the way they saw it, too. Likewise, he's out of Green Bay, and the chances of the Packers being a Super Bowl contender, I think, are pretty much minuscule, if not non-existent. So, yes, it hurts that way, but I didn't think they were going to win with Aaron Rodgers anyway. So if you're not going to win, you might as well transform the team and get ready for what comes next.
Yeah, and I think, you know, with the draft now, if they can build some weapons, what they just seem to fail to do with the tail end of Rodgers, at least offensively. They kept trying to fix the defense and kept drafting whoever was the defensive tackle from Georgia. I'm so sick of, you know, just picking whoever's Georgia's defensive player is. And and then you find your defense is middle of the pack again. Like, now I feel like there's some pressure to build the offense, and I'm excited about that. Like, I mean, I'll be shocked if they draft defense round 1, 2, and 3, because don't you feel like now that they've made this move, they have to try to help their quarterback out, their new quarterback, and give him some weapons. Plus, they're like seriously deficient in the wide receiver and tight end room. Like, they can't sit on their hands like they do at times in the past. I think they got to go for need rather than, you know, the super long project that rates high and jumping and whatever else that, you know, they look as important. But, you know, that they're actually going to need to kind of do a draft that would be more Dave-like. You know, it's like, let's get this offense to be high octane. That makes me excited. So I actually think, you know, I do think our chances of winning for record perspective is maybe lower with Love than Rodgers, certainly. But the entertainment factor, the interest factor next year is higher because now we have the Packers with Love. And how interesting is it going to be to watch the Jets with Rodgers playing? I mean, that first week of the season, I'll be super excited to see the Packers play whoever they do, but I'll be almost just as excited, just like slightly less, to see the Jets play. I mean, I've just increased my entertainment value by, you know, I doubled it. And what's interesting, Chris, I want to see what you think is, are you going to cheer for Aaron Rodgers now? Because ideally for us, what we want is him to play 17 games or at least 9 or 10 games, whatever it is, gets you to 65%. But we want them to lose. So is my second favorite team, whoever plays the Jets, but don't hurt Aaron Rodgers. How will you watch the Jets game next year?
Well, I want them to, in the same way it was with Favre, I want them to lose and lose as often as possible.
Really?
Ideally, ideally with Rodgers playing enough snaps, you know, to get that first round pick. But the more they lose, the better that draft choice is, you know. So it's not so much anything personal about Aaron Rodgers, although people listening to the podcast might disagree with that, because we've been, you know, kind of hard on the guy the last couple of years. But
yeah,
the point is, now that he's not a member of the Packers any longer, and I don't wish him any ill will. There was an article about all the, you know, great things he had done in the community. And, you know, I have a friend in Green Bay, Erin Davison. I don't know if you know Erin or have heard of her. She was a 25-year news anchor on, I think, on Channel 11 in Green Bay.
Okay.
11 or 5? Oh, God, I should know. Anyway, I think Erin might listen to this podcast, too. But, you know, she's a friend of mine from our broadcasting days. And, you know, when she retired, she was kind of a local celebrity. When she retired, you know, Erin did a little thing about her retirement, you know, and I texted her today, and, you know, she still remembers how, you know, special that whole thing was. So there's a lot of humanity there. And, you know, he did a lot of things, and it seemed to be earlier on in his tenure with the team. But, you know, he did a lot of things that appreciated the fans, appreciated the town. He wrote a very nice thing out going out the door.
Right.
And even though there was some things the last few years, it was really good. I don't know if it's J.R. Ratcliffe or who it was that had written the article in the journal Sentinel about just recapping maybe about a 10 or 12 things that he had done that, you know, showed him to be a regular guy, Wisconsin guy. So that was good to read and reminded me again that, you know, there was a time where I felt pretty good about the guy. And I don't wish him ill will. I want the Jets to lose because I want a better draft position.
Yeah.
And I also want the validation that, yep, see, it was the right time to let go of that guy. You know, that's, I don't want to have that sense of, well, maybe they should have hung on to him because, you know, he's leading the league in passing again, and maybe he could have done that. Well, I don't think he could have done that in Green Bay. I think that the time had expired for that. It probably wouldn't have happened here. But if he does well in New York, I'm always going to be wondering, well, you know, maybe they should have tried it one more time. So it would feel better to me if they lose for the draft position and also for the validation that, yes, it was time. He was past his sell-by date, and now it's time that the Packers moved on. Maybe they should have done it a year sooner, but as it was, you know, they got something, and they're able to get out from under that contract.
Right. I think they would have gotten more last year, but it was fair to take another year with him. It turned out that would have been better a year earlier. But I think what's really important to think about, he may go out to the Jets and have an MVP season, but I'm convinced he would not have an MVP season with the Packers. Like, it's kind of the reverse Neil O'Donnell situation. I've talked about this before. Neil O'Donnell was playing with the Steelers. He got traded to the Jets. The Steelers lost and the Jets lost because Neil O'Donnell only fit with the Steelers. Like, he fit their system. He was a system kind of quarterback. You know, they had a really good defense. So when they had him, they were great. And when he left, the Jets weren't good enough. He stunk for them. And then the new quarterback the Steelers had was not very good. I think Rodgers, it's the opposite of that. Rodgers stays with us. I feel like he's a problem. He's going to pout. He's a, you know, you get the jerk Rodgers, but now when he goes to New York, he's got the chip on his shoulder. You're going to get the maximum effort Rodgers. And what sucks is I just don't think we were ever going to get the maximum effort Rodgers. You're going to get the Rodgers from last year where he doesn't report to training camp. He doesn't, you know, probably work out as hard.
Calls his own plays. Yeah.
Yeah. He throws, you know, I'm going to throw a play to Bakhtiari in near the end zone. Oh, well, he got intercepted. I think he felt he had free reign to do whatever he wanted there. But in New York, he's going to be under the magnifying glass times. I mean, he's going from Green Bay, Wisconsin to New York, New York. Even his ego has to check a little bit when you're going to be in front of the New York media, new fans. I mean, if he has a bad first game, they're going to turn on him so quickly. He's not going to get the love that he got in Green Bay. So I think he's going to put the effort in. You very well could see an Aaron Rodgers that's great next year. And I think we have to all say we can't feel bad that he left, because we wouldn't have got the Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay. I think we would have got the entitled one. It's very different. So I think we have to separate those two.
I think anyone who has left one employer for another knows that you get comfortable in whatever job you're in. And even if you're doing an okay job, you don't have quite the edge that you do when you're trying to prove yourself.
For sure.
And I know that, you know, was the case with, when I left our former employer for, you know, the job that brought me to Central Wisconsin. You know, I mean, it's in a way you're kind of starting over again. And I don't want to say it refreshes you, but it certainly does put you on edge. And it kind of brings out, in a way, until you get complacent again, it kind of brings out the best in you, because you're starting from scratch and, you know, you're the new kid in town and you have to see things in a new way. And he's going to be in a different environment with a challenging media, new coaching staff, new facility, new playbook. It makes you reach down deep again. You probably had that experience when you left our, you know, former gig in Madison and went to St. Louis.
Yeah, had to start over. Right.
Yeah, yeah. And so that does tend oftentimes to, you know, make people kind of renews them mentally in some way. And this may be the case with Rodgers. I think it probably happened that way for Brady in Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
You know, when you've been someplace for a very long time, even if you've been successful, you usually aren't as sharp as you might have been a few years before that. I think Bill Walsh mentioned that, right? And he said, you know, after 10 years of a coach being in one place, you gotta change it up. You gotta keep it fresh. Even if it's going okay, it does get a little bit stale. And I think that's kind of the nature of human nature. So I would think that it's not implausible for him to return to an MVP level, even at, you know, this is his age 40 season. But you know, it's his age 40 season. And Tom Brady, you know, was able to be highly effective into his 40s, but that's, you know, I mean, I guess Drew Brees, you know, had a couple of seasons where he was okay, you know, 40-ish. But I don't know if Rodgers is going to be able to do that or not. He's been hurt a lot now. I'm not sure if they have the offensive line in New York, you know, to make him as effective. And it's a whole bunch of things about the fans, and you're right, the media and the playing field, the facilities. Will all that be as conducive? I don't know. It wouldn't surprise me to see him do well, but even if he does well, the guy's going to be 41 in the following season. So it was probably about time to make the change.
Yeah, I think that's right. And I really wish I knew how they felt about Love. It feels like they feel like they're ready. Like, and we're getting that indication, you know, the players, Aaron Jones, well, I'm going to be really bad with names as we're in the off season. The middle linebacker, you know,
which one? Campbell?
Campbell. Thank you. Okay. Campbell. You know, it talked about that he's ready. Yeah. It feels like there's kind of this vibe that they feel Love is ready to take over. Kind of like how Rodgers, you know, kind of talked about Rodgers, maybe not as strong. But we haven't seen it. Although, you know, every once in a while on my Twitter feed, I see like the highlights of Love's best plays. And when I see those, I like, yeah, he did pretty good. But then I think back, I thought, well, when he started against Kansas City, I don't remember thinking he had a great game, but he had a couple of good throws. But it feels like the Packers are ready. They're ready to make this change. What I can't figure out, are they ready because they finally have someone who will run the plays the way LaFleur wants it to, or they feel he's ready because he's very talented. I think we'll may never know, or someone will write a book, you know, 10 years from now, how awful it was to have Aaron Rodgers at the late end of his career. I'm convinced that it was a cancerous situation, that, and they just won't say it. They're going to Gutekunst and Murphy. Well, Murphy's kind of a goofball, but I feel like they take the high road, you know, and while Rodgers can go on McAfee and throw everyone under the bus. But I feel like, you know, the last few years with Rodgers has been kind of really tough on everybody in that building. Mm. I feel like, you know, you're going to see, you've kind of gotten rid of the problem. You might have new problems, but I feel like they're happy to have their new problems versus their old problems. And I wonder if that'll translate to a 9, 10, 11 victory season. You know, can Love have a career? You know, maybe he's not going to be MVP, but he's going to be effective enough so that the defense, you know, their defense isn't going back out with a lot of three and outs because Rodgers did some stupid stuff at, you know, that felt like he did last year. You know, maybe you run the ball more, and LaFleur is feeling energized because he's actually running plays he wants to. Maybe the Packers have a better than expected season because you kind of flushed out what was a potential dark cloud in Green Bay. We'll see.
I'm going to put the over under for wins at 5.5 for Green Bay.
Mm-mm. That's way too low. I'll take the over on that.
All right.
I say, well, no, more than 5.5.
Now, really? People. Yeah. I would like, you know, people, you know, to, for those that are still on, you know, Twitter, I am, but you know, I'm not sure why. But anyway, hit us on Twitter, Packers Therapy, at Packers Therapy, or if you want to email us, I don't know, we're not going to do a full out, you know, betting lines here, but let me know, you know, if you agree with that. But I'm feeling a kind of a 5.5, and that's because Aaron Rodgers' first year, he was, you know, they were 6-10. Now, I know there were a lot of games where the defense kind of collapsed in that season, and so maybe they were actually a better team than that, and they were the next year. They won 11 games the next year. But I'm thinking, if a Hall of Famer, you know, sat for 3 years, and that's what that team did, I don't know that I can, in good conscience, say, oh yeah, they're going to be just fine. They're going to win 8 or 9 games. I just don't see that happening. I'll be delighted, of course, if, you know, they do come out there, but I just don't see it happening with a first-year quarterback. Now, maybe they win 8 or 9 games the following year, but this is going to be an adjustment year for the coaching staff, for certainly for Jordan Love, and for the fans to kind of, you know, understand what we have going on here. Now, if it's better than that, then we can say, aha, well, they made the right decision in hiring Matt LaFleur. And, you know, I guess Goody was right by going for Jordan Love. I really don't see that happening, though.
You know what the Vegas line is for the total wins?
Actually, you're going to be surprised. I don't consult the Vegas lines because they consult my lines.
Oh, it's the way around. Well, unfortunately, they did not consult you quick enough. They're at 7.5.
Well, now that to me, that would be a good season if they would, even if they would go under that at 7, I think that would exceed my expectations.
Yeah, they are at 7.5. The Jets are, what would you guess the Jets are?
Oh, now I'm assuming these have been updated since the trade, right?
So I don't know what the date, this is saying April 15th, so oh, no.
So this is before, all right.
Okay, so, well, at least the Packers would be updated.
Yep. But yeah, but they would have a pretty good idea at that point that it was going in this direction.
Yeah.
But the Jets, I would say they put the Jets at 10.5.
They had 9.5.
And that, so, okay. Well, yep. You know, if that's going to raise a question, if they win 10 games, the Jets do, was it really worth the deal? I mean, maybe they make the playoffs. They haven't made the playoffs since 2010, I think.
Right.
And so maybe that would be worth it, even if they don't you know, go to the Super Bowl or win the Super Bowl. If they can make the playoffs, I mean, maybe that makes the deal worthwhile.
Did I see something that the Detroit Lions have won a division, their division, before more recently than the Jets have?
You know, it seems
something crazy that the Jets' record is so abysmal. They've had a couple of good teams, but they've never, you know, they had the Patriots to contend with, so they never in first place. Well, but
I know that the Lions were in the playoffs more recently because they played the Packers, I think.
Maybe that was it.
Yeah. I don't know if they won the division, but they were in the playoffs. I can't remember the year now. I don't think they played the Packers. I think maybe the Cowboys beat them, and then the Packers played the Cowboys, and maybe that was the year of that amazing, amazing catch along the sidelines, rolling out to the left and hitting the tight end and then kicking the field goal, I think twice.
In order
to beat the Cowboys. Which brings up an idea, a question here. When you think back now, when you look back at 18 years of Aaron Rodgers, 15 years as a starter, what are the great memories or the best memories, and maybe even the worst memories, but certainly the best memories to start off with, that you have during his long tenure? What are you going to think of when you think of Aaron Rodgers 5 years from now, 10 years from now? What are you going to think about?
Well, I mean, the 2010 season and how he finished that off at that Super Bowl, you know, the game against Atlanta. I think his the peak of his powers were that playoff game against Atlanta. Although, you know, the Steelers game, he made some incredible throws there, too. It felt like, you know, as his career progressed, he took so few risks and he ate the ball, threw the ball out of bounds a lot. But you watch that Super Bowl, he threw balls into traffic that Jennings snagged out of nowhere.
Yep.
Excellent. And the Atlanta playoff game, I remember he was getting, you know, pressure, and he would get out of that pressure and then just, you know, nail James Jones 20 yards down the field. It was like, I remember just thinking, like, Rodgers is so amazingly great and that stretch. But there's also, you know, when he got hurt, his calf was hurt and he comes back. The Chicago game.
No, it was 2014 when he had the calf injury, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, 14. Let's not talk.
Yeah. I know.
The, you know, against the Bears where, you know, we were down big at half and he was injured early, came back and rallied them. I mean, you could show a highlight reel of throws that he made. It's incredible. I mean, he calls himself arguably the greatest Packer of all time. I think that's a fair argument. I know you probably feel like Bart Starr.
Heard him say that, it made me cringe because Bart Starr was the lodestar.
Talent wise, you know, it's a fair argument though. I mean, in terms he was far better quarterback than Bart Starr. It's just Bart Starr was a better man, at least. It's hard to say.
But he played within the system. He won. I mean, the guy was 10-1 or something in the postseason, and you know, passer rating was, you know, for those days when passer ratings weren't that good, Stars in the postseason was crazy. I mean, you know, the guy, yes, he was not the most talented player, but Rodgers probably is. I mean, I never saw Don Hutson play, so I couldn't, you know, really say who was the most talented of all time. But in my lifetime, since I started watching in 1966, probably the most talented player that I've seen. But the greatest Packer, I don't know. Reggie White played in that era. You know, I mean, Charles Woodson had some pretty, you know, he would then play as long, of course, as Rodgers. But, you know, he had some amazing field tilting plays and seasons as well.
Right.
So definitely Rodgers hedges bet. He said arguably, and it is an argument to have, and the guy's been great. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer. We're going to miss those passes that you talked about in the Super Bowl, the threading the needle that I think at least on two occasions I can think of to Greg Jennings, you know, all that stuff. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to be glad that we had him for as long as we did. You're right, playing on that hurt calf in the NFC Championship game. I think throughout the entire playoffs. You know, the guy played hurt a lot. He played hurt this past season. I mean, there's a lot to appreciate and to like about what he did. And they, you know, they did win a Super Bowl under his tenure. The guy won four MVPs in a very competitive. Yeah, I mean, it's one thing to when Bart Starr played, there were fewer teams and, you know, it's different, whole different kind of game. But it's so much weighted on the quarterback now to be the MVP four times. You know, I mean, that makes you appreciate Peyton Manning that much more, too. These are special guys, and there's no question the Packers are not going to be as good without him, at least in the near term. How we'll be after that, you know, even after we stop doing this podcast, there'll still be Packers, and, you know, they're probably going to win the Super Bowl again at some point along the line. So it's not the end of the franchise, but it is a little bit sad because you're turning the page from a extended period of success, even going back to Brett Favre. You know, we've been so lucky and so blessed. I don't know that we'd be doing a podcast right now if it, you know, wasn't for all the excitement generated around this team since the arrival of Brett Favre and the continuation under Aaron Rodgers.
Now, I think we have to say, I think there's a negative with Rodgers in that the chip on his shoulder that it seems like he's had his whole life. It happened through the draft.
Right.
That people keep saying he looks shorter in person. Like, it's all these things that, you know, he takes. It's hard not to also include that. Just like with Favre, he was the babysitting incident, the rumors of him, you know, up in Green Bay and all the single females who had lots of experiences with Favre. Like, there's all these, like, there's
stealing from the poor people in Mississippi.
Yes. Like, Rodgers also had the baggage with him. And there's the personal, the prima donna, there's that kind of stuff. And I can sort of give a pass for that. I want my quarterback to be confident. You know, we've always talked about he's the kind of guy I don't necessarily want to have dinner with. right. And
well,
so
you don't eat anymore, so it wouldn't be much of a
dinner.
That's
right. I have no appetite. Yeah, it would be a short dinner. But, you know, there was an element at the end of his career that it kind of folded in the playoffs. Like, it's hard to say, you know, he was a great quarterback. Statistically, he was incredible. He was very talented. I don't want to say he wasn't a gamer, you know, that he wasn't clutch. But, you know, there was, my goodness, in the last seven years or so, it felt like when game crunched him in playoffs, he sort of disappeared. And I think that's part of his legacy. He was not able to do the Brady, do the Manning, you know, do some of the things, even the Rodgers of 2010. He didn't sort of make that throw to Jennings, you know, against Tampa or against Atlanta or Seattle, or, you know, it goes on and on. Like, there were times where, you know, it's the fourth quarter, we need a first down, we need a score, and it's three and out. And I put some of that blame on him. Now, if he would have had the defense that Brady had, maybe he had his get three or four Super Bowls. That's very possible. And it's unfair, you know, to blame him for that. But there were times where he kind of disappeared. And so he was a great Packer, but, you know, we only got one Super Bowl on it. And I think part of that is at his feet. We should have been able to have more than just one Super Bowl with a quarterback of his caliber. And I know that maybe it's a team sport and all that, but I feel like that is, for better or for worse, that's part of his legacy, that we only had one Super Bowl. There's a greatness that kind of fell short that I think could be redeemed if he wins the Super Bowl with the Jets. You know, you kind of say, well, the front office of the Packers were super conservative, you know, and that was, so if he goes out and wins the Super Bowl with the Jets, I think some of that rubs off of him. But until then, I think that's part of his legacy too. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. What makes it hard for me is the same thing that makes it difficult about 2008 is that I think Rodgers played better than the record indicates. As I recall, their defense, you know, kind of, you know, pissed down their leg a couple games
at
there.
times.
And I think there were occasions where he was let down by, you know, the rest of his team. I mean, how many times how many overtime games in the playoffs did they have? My God. And, you know, there were occasions, I can't remember the exact number now, but several times where he never got a chance to touch the ball in overtime.
That's true. Yeah.
You know, and it's, if I'm if I'm not mistaken, thinking back to our very favorite football game of all time, the Seahawks game, I think if I'm not mistaken, you know, the Seahawks won that on the first possession on the long pass. You know, that wound up, you know, being it. And, you know, Rodgers never got a chance to answer, especially the way the rules are. I think they lost some on field goals, and now they would have gotten another chance at that.
Right.
So some of those performances, while, you know, he wasn't at his best, maybe, you know, they're playing a lot better teams, too. So it's going to be hard to, you know, carve up, you know, the opposition based on your own personal will. But here's one thing that's going to be good, I think, for the Packers organization. If you are Goody or Ted before that, and you're looking at, you know, what you need to do in the draft, you make all those calculations on the basis of the team you have right now. As long as you've got this amazing talent, this first ballot Hall of Famer, four-time MVP, it's going to impact it. Well, you know, we don't need to get that receiver because, you know, we have the best quarterback in the league. And so we can get by with lesser talent. What we really have to do is make sure that guy, you know, has a defense that's not going to let him down. So we're going to draft defense or we're going to do some other things because we know we have Aaron Rodgers. Well, if you know now you don't have Aaron Rodgers, that might just change the philosophy you have about the draft going into it.
I hope
because
so.
You can't count on having this overwhelming superior talented quarterback. You're going to have to think differently about your acquisitions. I think that goes for trades. I think that goes for free agency. If you know that you're going to need more help on offense because you can't rely just on the quarterback, you know, that might cause Gutekunst to view his job differently because he doesn't have the same kind of roster that he did.
Right. And I think that's a healthy thing to have happen, because I think you're right. When you think of, like, how did we not win another Super Bowl with Rodgers? I think you could point to defense. One year you could point to special teams. But I think the front office as well, I think they should take shoulder some of that blame, is they did not. They were never willing to sort of stretch themselves midseason to go get somebody that may have taken them over the top. You know, I think mistakenly kept trying to fix the defense when sometimes the best defense is score points. And
right.
So this might hit a reset for everybody involved. Because I felt like the end, you know, he's asking for say in personnel decisions. And, you know, it must have affected their decision making is to have someone in the building who's just as large as you are as the GM or the president is making your life difficult. So it'll be interesting. And I think we'll find out, we're recording this on the 26th. We'll find out tomorrow. And the only reason we didn't do this after the draft is because we couldn't coordinate our schedules after the draft. But will they draft a wide receiver first round? I think that'll be super fascinating. Will they do wide receiver, tight end, and like tackle, or, you know, some combination of that in the first three rounds? That to me would be such a difference of what they've done in the past, where it was just defense, defense, defense. Yeah, I think they relied on Rodgers too much, and they should have. I said for years, I feel like they should make the offense excellent. The rest will take care of itself. You'll pick up the Rasul Douglases who will help you when you're ahead by 14 points. Because you can score so quickly. I just hope that maybe that resets the front office and that will cascade into, you know, a better team going forward.
Well, you know, that happens all the time in organizations. They become rejuvenated when there's a major change, whether it's a CEO or a president or an owner of a company. You know, if they leave or sell the organization, whatever it might be, that has a ripple effect. You know, it makes everybody approach their job differently.
It could be worse.
Yeah,
it could be worse, right?
How? Okay, how?
But I mean, it could end up, we could find out that, you know, the changes that I've been asking for is actually like, should have just keep going to defense, right?
I really do think though that you were right. I think they are going to look at offense more because they probably think, well, we have a young quarterback who hasn't really played. He's going to need all the help that he can get. I would not be surprised if they wouldn't look at somebody in the defensive backfield or defensive line, but probably more like, you know, third round, fourth round, that kind of thing. Early on, though, I'm expecting that, you know, offensive line help because you got Bakhtiari, you know, who will play this season, but that's probably going to be it. His cap number becomes prohibitive next season. So they probably want to get another tackle, and to get a good one, you probably are going to have to, although I know Bakhtiari was fourth round pick, but that's pretty rare. And if you want somebody good, you're probably going to have to get the first, you know, couple of rounds. They've got four picks in the first three rounds. And I would think probably three of those are going to be on offense, and one's probably going to be a safety or a defensive lineman, because I think they've only got three guys right now on the roster, right, who are defensive linemen that they're bringing back. So I'm expecting them to focus pretty heavily on offense. I think they need to pick up probably a couple of tight ends because they're extraordinarily thin there, and probably, you know, another receiver, because the ones they have are okay, but they're going to need
second year players. Your best receivers are second year players.
And you need an infusion of talent, and those guys don't produce right away. So maybe you draft one high, and that person works in the rotation as a third or a fourth, and hopefully that they get better as they go along. So that's my expectation for the draft. I think they're going to, you know, I know they always say best player available, but there are many times where, well, you know, we kind of have these guys all ranked in the same group. There's, you know, five guys that we could pick that we think are all pretty equal. But all things being equal, we'll look at the offensive guys as opposed to the defensive guys, because that's where we think we need to bolster the team right now. That's just kind of my guess. And you have to hope that Goody can do this year what he did last year, where he seems to have, you know, found some really solid and in some cases really, really good players. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, what they're going to do. But I'd be very surprised if, you know, early choices would be on defense unless they really find somebody that, like an edge rusher. I mean, they're going to need somebody to be an edge rusher because Rashawn Gary is going to miss probably the beginning of the first month at least of the season, and maybe longer. I haven't heard how his injuries coming along, but an ACL usually like 10 months, that kind of thing. Unless you're David Bakhtiari, then it's 2 years.
That's right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So I wouldn't be surprised if they somehow found this, you know, a great edge rusher fell to them at number 13. Probably not going to be the case. I'm thinking it's going to be like an offensive lineman, maybe a receiver, but I'm kind of thinking offensive line at number 13.
Yeah, I could see them trading down, you know, because they have a number of holes they have to fill, and maybe they trade down and gather picks as best they can. I think that's very possible. They could do that with 13. Yep. Rather than trading up. I don't see them, you know, trading up to get the receiver that they want. I feel like they could gather more picks. I could see that happening, but man, I would be so surprised if they pick a safety, corner, defensive tackle, edge with first round. Pressure is to help your new quarterback. I guess it would be so stubborn in my mind for them to say, look, we have a process. We pick the best available. You go with our board. It doesn't matter what we need. You know, that's such a Packer thing to do. Like, especially Iowa has like a defensive tackle or end or something who didn't actually start for Iowa, but has like really good measurables. Mm-hmm. I think even Chad Reuter, I said something snarky on Twitter. That's Luke Van Ness. Maybe is that his name?
Yeah.
And I saw something like this defensive end from Iowa who didn't start last year is a high on the Packers list. And I said, this would be the most Packers thing to do is to pick a non-starter from Iowa on the defensive line. And Chad Reuter was like, no, he's actually really good. Maybe, but if they do that, if they pick Luke Van Ness or whatever his name is, I'll feel like whatever. Just feed me losses, and I'll just go to sleep upset. But if they do that,
Rashawn Gary, you know,
Rashawn Gary.
He was an underperformer at Michigan, and you know, he was on his way, I think, to being All Pro last year. But of course,
how many Super Bowls did we win with Rashawn Gary? Like, could we have had Can we won one of these playoff games that we lost with someone to take pressure off Devontae Adams? Is that too much to ask? You know, could you, a guy, could you have gotten an electric receiver that opened up the offense, and now not only are you worried about Devontae, but you're worried about whoever else, and maybe could have won a couple games. I don't know, Dave,
do you really think that Aaron Rodgers, given the choice, would pass to somebody other than number 17? I mean, I think we've seen that, you know, was it the last play of two seasons ago where he's trying to force the ball desperately into a double covered Devontae.
There's no one else on the field except for Devontae.
And that's why, you know, great. It would have been nice to have a number two receiver, but it doesn't matter if the quarterback's not going to throw him the ball because he's so focused on, you know, throwing the ball 14 times to number 17.
Well, let me throw this scenario at you, Chris. You know, everyone says, you know, you had Favre, you had Rodgers, you know, our years of having a good quarterback are over. Like, the statistical probability of us having another great quarterback is super thin. But I say this, we had Favre, and who was Favre? Favre was a guy that took too many risks. Wow. You had Rodgers. He was a guy who took too few risks. Is it possible that we could get the Goldilocks of quarterbacks, like someone who doesn't take too many risks, but not too few, just the right amount, you know, I don't know if it's Jordan Love or it's going to be someone we draft next year, but like, is our best quarterback still in front of us actually? Because, you know, it wasn't like Favre and Rodgers were flawless. They were great. They're Hall of Famers.
Yeah.
But they had flaws. You know, is it possible Jordan Love plays within a system that LaFleur wants to run, and the offense is great, even though he's not great because he just fits, you know, he just fits what we need.
He hits the open man. Yeah.
You know, what's wrong with that? Right.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the best that we can hope for at this point, is that we can't expect it's unrealistic to say, oh yeah, this is another guy who's going to come along and, you know, he's going to be there 15 years. I would be perfectly fine with a guy that, you know, 5 years, 7 years, but he, you know, is not fragile. You know, he's able to, you know, play well when he's hurt, like the last two guys did.
Right.
And maybe he's not going to light up the scoreboard. He's not going to have five or six touchdowns in a game, but he's not going to, you know, pass up open receivers right in front of him.
Right.
You know,
he'll run for first downs when it's there, you know.
Right. Yeah. He's going to, you know, hand the ball off when he's, you know, told to by by the guys up in the booth, you know, who are able to see the entire field. And, you know, they're suggesting to the head coach, you know, we can exploit this by going with the tight end, stick pattern across the middle, you know, something like that. And the quarterback actually, you know, runs that play.
Right.
I don't think you need to be an overwhelming talent with incredible arm strength and all those. No, I think you have to be good enough, smart enough, you know, willing to work with the coach and not against the coach. I think those kinds of things, even if you're not going to be an all-pro, you're good enough, though. You're not making back-breaking mistakes, but at the same time, you know, you can make the throws that you need to make. Maybe you can't, you know, throw that ball into the cover two hole. You know, maybe you can't do that on the regular basis, or that great back shoulder throw. Maybe you're not quite as adept at doing those things, but you know, you are good at taking what the defense gives you and, you know, handing off the ball, or maybe being able to run. That's something else that we've seen a lot now in the NFL game, is, you know, the read option where the quarterback keeps the ball. And I don't, you know, that wasn't really Aaron Rodgers' thing, especially toward the end of his career. So maybe now they'll be able to do some different kinds of things that they weren't able to do before. And maybe you'll see more motion, because Rodgers didn't really care for some of those jet sweep motion things. And maybe we'll see more of that. And perhaps the quarterback doesn't need to be great, just needs to be good enough.
That's the hope, I think. Yep. And it'll be different. I think I was ready to have different, you know, it might not be better, but you know, if we had five wins, then it'll be interesting. It'll be, you wonder, you know, how the podcast goes if it's five wins, but, and not interesting. will it be interesting to do with the podcast? I mean, Rodgers did bring an element of good or bad. It was definitely interesting. But
what was the first question you always had in the betting lines every single week? You know,
he made the whole thing interesting. He brought relevance to the Packers because he was constantly in the media's eye. I assume Love is not going to do the same.
No.
It doesn't seem like that type of character. I mean, that's what's really bizarre. We had not only two quarterbacks that are all pro Hall of Famers, you know, legends, but there are also personalities that were over the top too. Love, you know, could statistically have great seasons, but, you know, be more of a even keel kind of guy and not nearly the press that we would get, you know, from others. And I think Bear fans would appreciate that. I think they're tired of getting stepped on by these prima donnas all the time. But we'll see. I mean, I think it's possible we could have, you know, could we have a better team, but a worse quarterback? That's kind of what I'm hoping for a little bit.
See, now that's what I'm trying to get at. I think that's a really good way to put it. And I don't think it'll be this year, but maybe, you know, coming up in 2024, they could have a step down at quarterback, but overall, you know, the results could wind up being better and more sustainable. That's another thing too, when talking about the draft, don't forget that the running backs, you know, this is supposedly a running oriented offense. I wouldn't be surprised to see him, you know, go grab a running back or two at some point in the draft, because Aaron Jones is 29 and the shelf life. Now his is maybe extended a little bit because they've been careful in how they've used him. But next year, I mean, this year maybe is last year, and next year probably definitely is last year when he's going to be 30 years old, going to miss the guy. But running backs age out quickly. So that'd be something else that we should be prepared for, that, you know, they may wind up going and getting a running back, because A.J. Dillon, while, you know, love the guy, he seems like a great guy, he's not a dynamic bell cow kind of guy. So that's something else that might be a surprise when we think about the draft, is, you know, the Packers might go after a running back in the first three rounds.
Oh, goodness. If they took a running back the first round, that would be that would make absolutely no sense whatsoever.
I'm not sure there's anybody that's got a first round value anyway, but
it's an area round, that they don't need. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it could be second or third round, and they've done so poorly in the third round, it would almost be appropriate if they went for running back in the third round and the guy wound up being a bust. But, you know, I think because if you're trying to support your quarterback, having a good running game, really good way to do that. And that supposedly the LaFleur offense is supposed to tilt toward the running game. And if that's the case, you probably need to bolster that area, because you're going to need somebody next year. And I'm not sure when Dylan's contract is up, but, you know, he might also not be around that much longer. So, yeah, I would think they're going to draft a quarterback at some point, probably in the middle rounds, I'm guessing. Probably going to pick up a couple of running backs. I think they got 11 picks. So it wouldn't surprise me to see him, you know, grab a couple of running backs, a couple of tight ends, edge rusher. They have ones, because they didn't bring back Adrian Amos, at least not at this point. He's still a free agent. So your safety you know, you don't have a lot of, I guess you got Ford back there, and he's kind of hit and miss. And Darnell Savage, I think they've kind of soured on him. So I think you're probably going to, you know, see them doing a lot of that kind of stuff, because there's a fair number of holes on this roster, and some of your good players are aging out, and their contracts are such that, you know, you're going to have to move on. So as long as you're turning the page, and as long as, I don't think this is going to be a great season anyway, this would be a good transitional kind of year to start, you know, building for 2024 and 2025. We also might find out, Dave, that after watching Jordan Love for an entire season, it's like, yeah, next year we need to go for a quarterback early. So I guess we're opening the door to the unknown. That can be exciting. I think, you know, my guy, Big Snake Man, is really excited, because it's different. And a lot of people have said that. It's going to be exciting because it's going to be different. And I understand that. But I kind of like the certainty of knowing that pretty much every week they were going to win, and I'd be disappointed when they didn't, because I expected them to win, or at least I thought they had a really good chance. Now I think pretty much every week going in going to be an adventure. You hope there's not going to embarrass themselves. And I guess that's exciting. You know, when I guess it's sort of like being in a car wreck, very exciting. But also lethal, potentially lethal. And that kind of excitement, as a guy who's been in a couple of car wrecks, not really, you know, what I had in mind, but it will be interesting. It will be interesting. There's no doubt about that. There's one thing I agree with Jason Wilde on is that, you know, sometimes you need to be careful what you wish for. And I think a lot of people have wished for Rodgers to be gone, and he was going to age out anyway soon, so it's a fine thing to trade him. But I think people are going to appreciate his tenure and Favre's tenure a lot more in the coming years. People will be patient this year, maybe in 2024. But you know, if they go a couple of seasons without the playoffs, with losing records, you know, people are going to, you know, get nostalgic for the old days. Our counts on the podcast will probably go down because there'll be less interest. And by the way, thank you, Aaron Rodgers, for making people want to listen to Packers Therapy and all the other podcasts that are out there. So, you know, we should strap in, because it's not a birthright and it's not a given for Packer fans that we're always going to have winning teams, always going to have competitive teams. You know, we may really relish being in the playoffs after you miss for, you know, a couple of years or 3 years in a row.
Well, there's an element to me, though, that says the Packers, the way they're structured, you don't have a weird owner. We've got, you know, people, business people who are running. They know what the role of the president is, the GM, the coach. Like our structure creates the probability of having a better team more often than not. But, you know, I think that's been challenged by saying, no, you're good because you just happen to have two good quarterbacks back to back. Well, I guess we're going to find all this out, because if we start winning with Love, are we going to say, well, you're just lucky because you had three quarterbacks back to back to back? Or will you say, no, the structure actually does, perpetuate winning. And we finally get to sort of test that theory out. If Jordan Love is Brett Hundley, or we Brett Hundley for the next 5 years, then I think, you know, the advantages that I think were, you know, Green Bay and the tradition and the setup of the governance and all that, you know, maybe that's not true. It's there is no advantage to any of that. It's better to have an owner that knows what they're doing than to have this board of directors and all that, and a president and all that kind of stuff. So I guess we're going to find that out. It just makes it interesting. If we have a losing season, I can't imagine the NFL not being interesting, because I think the Jets are going to make it that much more interesting. So even a 7-10?
7-11 or 7-10? Yes,
7-10. Packers is less interesting, but yeah, the Jets. It'll create a season in 2023 that's as interesting as ever. I think we're safe in having a lots to talk about next year. It is that 2024, 2025. You know what happens after that, right? Yeah.
So let me ask you this question, and maybe we can close on this one as we look forward. And as we sit here today at April 26, 2023. So if we're both, you know, still alive, and I hope that'll be the case on April 26, 2026, okay, 3 years from now. Okay. Will Matt LaFleur still be coach? Will Brian Gutekunst still be the general manager? And will Jordan Love still be the quarterback in Green Bay?
2026.
Yep, three years from now.
Well, as I sit here today, I am going with a hunch that by trading Aaron Rodgers, I feel like they feel he's better than what we all expect. That he made a big jump like the year before, he hadn't made that jump yet. So they signed Rodgers and did everything they can to brought him back. But this year, they were pretty clear. We're moving on. And I think that's because they felt they had something in Jordan Love. So I'm going to say that all three, I mean, by week two of this year, I could say get rid of all three of them. But as I see her today, April 26th, I feel like they're going to be all in place in 3 years. That's my prediction.
I would like to believe that. I think that they will all be gone. Okay. At that point. Well, I think Murphy's going to retire too. I think that the organizational structure, by the way, I think you're old enough to remember how people lamented the Packers structure until they started, you know, winning and Bob Harlan kind of, you know, straightened things out. But for a long time, that was considered a weakness for the team.
Well, yeah, I thought it was more the location. Like if you're bad, you get sent to Green Bay, right? Siberia.
Yeah, definitely. But I remember these Bob McGinn stories in, you know, the late 70s and Cliff Crystal and people like this talking about the Packers will never win as long as they don't have, you know, an owner or central authority and the board is meddling and all these kind of things. Well, I think Ron Wolf, you know, and Bob Harlan kind of changed a lot of that around. But it looks good now because the last 30 years have been good. But when they had a long string of losing, it was considered to be a weakness. And I think right now, what we're seeing right now is sort of that transitional period. And most quarterbacks wash out. I mean, who was the guy they got from Cleveland? He was a high second round draft pick. And come on, help me out here.
It was a player?
Quarterback a couple of years ago.
Kizer?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. And, you know, I mean, the guy's high draft choice. Yeah. And it turned out that he couldn't play.
Yeah, right.
And I'm not sure. Now, Love was a late first rounder. He was probably, I don't know, five or six picks ahead of where DeShone Kizer was. And, you know, I mean, drafting in that range, you know, it's not, well, it's never a lock, but I think it's, you know, it's kind of questionable. And a lot of those guys wash out. I mean, how many high round, you know, picks of Mitch Trubisky's of the world? And, you know, that just never pan out for whatever reason. So I kind of expect that's going to be the case with Jordan Love. And when that happens, that's going to reflect badly on the general manager. And they're going to find out that, you know, the coach may have all kinds of great schemes, but, you know, the schemes alone weren't good enough to compensate. And so, you know, what happens is you have a changing of the guard and the organization refreshes. And I think the Packers are going to win again, but I expect there to be kind of an organizational rejuvenation, a revolution of sorts, where the leadership they have right now, including Russ Ball as well as Murphy, I think probably all those guys are going to wind up getting shuffled out within the next 3 years or so. We're going to have a different regime in there. Now, the question becomes, will you get on that treadmill of, you know, you're constantly churning guys in and out in the front office and different quarterbacks? And I mean, we've seen that at other teams. We've even kind of lived through it with the Packers. That's really, really common. Just look at the Bears. Look at the Lions. I know. How long those teams have been down and they keep searching, grasping for answers by changing general managers, changing coaches, you know, changing quarterbacks and players and making bizarre trades to get, you know, retread quarterbacks from the Denver Broncos in order to come in to be the great savior for the Chicago Bears. You know, it's really, really hard to win in the NFL, but it's really hard to win consistently. And I think people are really going to appreciate this three decades that we had, that we've all become kind of entitled and accustomed to all the things that we've had. I think we're going to appreciate that a lot more, you know, 3 or 4 years from now. So it'll be interesting, definitely, because when the team loses, we know there's a lot more interest because people want to vent and all that stuff. You listen to the post-game show and people download the podcast because they want to vent. So it's going to be interesting. I think there's no question it's going to be interesting, but I don't know that's necessarily going to be pretty in terms of watching it and wondering about playoff seating. I mean, you know, it's going to be playoffs. I hope we win a game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm saying two things at once. I feel like there are three certainties in life. It's death, taxes, and being disappointed by the Packers front office decisions.
Yeah.
And by doing that, I feel like we may have realized that over the last 15 years that their philosophy, the Ted Thompson approach, and we still have the Ted Thompson acolytes are running the show, that doesn't work unless you have an all world quarterback. Does not work. No free agents, all drafts, you know, the way they pick them. I may find that out. And then what will happen is the next 3 years will be atrocious records. Everyone's going to clear it out. Yep. You're going to get a new philosophy, a new Ron Wolf, and hopefully he can turn things around. I guess I'm pushing against that. You know, I'm hoping that even though I have I don't trust the front office to do the right things. I feel like they've passed on a lot of opportunities where they could have given me a couple more Super Bowls. That they do think that Jordan Love is better than expected. You know, his upside is greater, that this is like the best kept secret, you know, that they're watching him in practice and he's better than you think. I'm holding out for hope for that. So I guess I'm going to leave this podcast tonight thinking that's what's happening. We'll have a good draft. They're going to change their philosophy a bit and go offense. That's going to help. And I'm going to be optimistic. 7.5, I'm going to be in Vegas next week. I'm putting money down the over for the Packers. I'm literally going to put money to my opinion. But I'll be so disappointed if I'm wrong. You know, it's so such a sad thing. But, you know, again, like I said, next year will be still interesting because we've got two teams to really follow. And I'm sure on the podcast we'll be following both. Yeah, it'll be interesting. Maybe even the Bedlines were reflecting.
I'm just going to say the first question will be Aaron Rodgers passer rating.
I think it will be. That's so great.
All right. Well, that's our thoughts on the trade of Aaron Rodgers and Godspeed number 12 or number 8 now, I guess. I think he's taking number 8 to honor his good friend Ryan Braun.
Was that Ryan Braun's number? Was it 8?
Yeah,
he was number 8. That's funny. But
don't you remember that they had that restaurant in Milwaukee? Yeah, I think it was 12-8 or 8-12 or whatever it was.
That's right. Yeah. And then good they friends had, until Ryan Braun got in trouble and Rodgers ditched him like an old shirt.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh boy. My guess is that I think he felt betrayed, I think, probably is what happened. And I understand, you know, why he did what he did with Braun. And that was an ugly episode. I know that's his number at Cal was 8. But the first thing I thought of was, he's honoring his old friend Ryan Braun by wearing number 8. And it's going to be weird to see him wearing number 8. I mean, one thing, it's beyond
all of it will be weird. Yeah.
Yeah. But to have him in a different number, too. And it was nice of Joe Namath, you know, to say, yeah, you can wear number 12. It's fine. But I think it was a class move by Rodgers to say, nah, no, that one's retired. You're a Hall of Fame great player. I'll wear my college number. Although I've subsequently learned, Dave, that his number at Butte Community College, number 4. And so that would have been even better.
That would have been better.
To wear number 4. Because I don't think they've retired that one.
No, number 4. Yeah. It didn't make it. Yeah. That would have been excellent. And that would have been such a Rodgers thing to do, is to take.
Oh, God.
I'm a better 4 in the Jets. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he has a shoulder injury, which would be right. The next. Yeah.
And then he's taking pictures and the whole thing goes off the rails.
Oh, God. I'd forgotten about that whole thing. Yeah. Yeah. Well, okay, on that happy note, we will conclude this off-season edition of Packers Therapy. Right now, the plan, barring some other kind of, seismic shifting of the Packer tectonic plates, we will be back once the preseason games start. And then we'll do a
post-draft one, though, no?
Well, I suppose we could, but I guess we can give our opinions. Maybe we get Chad. I don't know if Chad would even have time for us because he's such a big star now.
But
a guy who actually knows something about these players other than the synopsis that we will read on the internet. But I suppose maybe people can write. And do you really care what we think about the draft? Let us know over and under. Let us know. I set the line at 5.5. And the other thing is, you know, do you care what we think about the draft? And if enough people care, then what the heck? We'll come back in a, you know, week or so and, you know, talk about the draft picks. Maybe there'll be news coming out of New York, and you know, maybe Rodgers will attend the offseason program, which would be shocking.
Yeah, it would be.
I
think he does. All this will be indications of how I think the world will be. Of the chip on his shoulder, he's got to reestablish himself. I think he shows up for the OTAs, you know, in New York. I bet you he does. But if he doesn't, then watch out. This is going to be super interesting.
Well, you know that there'll be a lot of questions from the New York media about that. Yep. if he doesn't show. So it will be an interesting sideshow as well. So, there will be more interest. I don't know if it's going to be pretty, but it will be interesting, going forward this year and in future seasons. So potentially we will be back. With a podcast talk about Packers draft. Then Dave gets put back in the cryogenic chamber, and it'll be my job to thaw him out come August. So hope you enjoy your next week in the real world, Dave, before we have to put you back to sleep. But until that time, I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that is Packers Therapy.
I'm Chris.
And I'm Dave.
And that's Packers Therapy.